lucky I am not. Still laughing. No, it's not funny. My name is Dan Chuanik. I'm the assistant director of NEC School of Continuing Education. And I'd like to, before we begin, I'd like to thank Make Music for sponsoring this music technology room. All of our music tech sessions are in here, so I wanted to thank them publicly for that. You're here for Jim Frankel, the managing director of SoundTree. Prior to SoundTree, he taught instrumental and general music in New Jersey, so he's one of us. He understands what works in the classroom and how to apply it. He's been here, what, did you say 6, 7 years?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a long time. So, Jim, thanks for being
here. Thank you, Dan, very much. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for showing up to an 8 a.m. session. My name is Jim Frankel, and if you're looking for a handout, it's located here. I do it from purely environmental reasons, and I'm also a technologist. So everything's already posted there. All the links I'm going to be talking about are posted there. A podcast of today's session will be posted there. And this presentation is at the very bottom of the page. In fact, I'll show you what it looks like. Okay. There's the MMEA 11 landing page. It is beautiful. And at the very bottom it says Tech LM, right? Tech Elementary MMEA 11. Okay, and you can download that and pass it along. Got a whole bunch of other cool things there. And if you've never heard of SoundTree, I urge you to check out SoundTree.com and see what we do. But today I am here to talk about technology in the elementary music classroom. To give you a little bit of background on myself, just to make sure that you're aware that I taught elementary school for a while. And I thoroughly, I often pine for those days back, because I really enjoyed being in elementary. I was K to 8 general vocal instrumental and handbells, okay, in Saddle River, New Jersey, for 3 years. And it was one of those, you know, I taught lessons after school, and I went to high school. I went to college to be a high school band director, totally, a tuba player. You know, that's what I wanted to do. And, of course, my first gig was teaching pre-K general music with, you know, drums and all that. That's exactly what should happen to everybody, because it was just a fantastic experience. So, and I got a music technology lab from SoundTree in 1994. I was one of the first customers, and I used to set it up every morning. I taught in the CAFA gymnatorium, and so every morning I would take out, we'd have our handbell practice, then we'd get rid of all the foam and the mall marks and bring out the keyboards. And I would have a music tech lab in there first through fourth period, and then I'd take it out so that they could have lunch. And then depending on how I felt, I'd put it back for the rest of the day. But what I'm here today to show, that was a while ago, and things have changed dramatically since then. I used to have to have my kids sit in a semicircle around my Mac LC2 screen and have them all look. And I learned the hard way that that doesn't really work. And then I plugged it into a television. You remember that, when you could plug your computer into a TV? And I used Music Ace, but you couldn't even read what was on the screen. The resolution was so bad. And then I remember getting that first projector, which was like this big, you know, and $3,000. So I've kind of lived through that whole what goes on in an elementary classroom. So we're going to talk about why technology and when. I think it's very important to have a little bit of philosophy when it comes to technology, where it belongs, where it doesn't. It's not a toy. A lot of people think of them as toys, but you can really do powerful things with them. This is my new catchphrase, which is capture, connect, and create. This is what I think teachers should be doing with technology in the classroom, and I'll go over what that is. I'm going to share with you three elementary music teachers who I just think are rock stars, and show you what they're doing in their classrooms. The essential hardware, what every elementary music teacher should have on their tool belt. And then some recommended software. I'm going to show you some things. By the way, for those of you who walked in late, I'm going to be giving away a copy of World of Music, which is Morton Subotnick's latest title that I was the educational advisor on. So I'll give one of the. I'll show you what it is. If you want to be in it, there are some cards up here. You just fill out if you want to come up or whatever. Sorry. I'll share with you online resources, stuff that's free and really pretty cool, and then some print work resources that are out there. But before I do that, how many of you, the number one question I get from elementary music teachers, number one, is how do I remove vocals from an audio track? I want to make a karaoke version of a song. How do I do that? How many of you would like to know? I'm about to show you. It's totally free. It is complete copyright infringement, but I will show you anyway. And I've decided to choose a very apropos song to remove the vocals from. For those of you who have not heard this gem yet, here is one of the most beautiful songs to come along in a while by Rebecca Black, called Friday. How many of you know this song? For those of you that don't, I urge you to go to YouTube today and look up Rebecca Black, Friday. They're the worst lyrics ever created. She didn't write them, but they are the worst lyrics ever created for a human being. And her voice is, you know, she's a nice kid. I feel really bad for her because she's come under attack. But I'm going to remove her vocals because I'm not really digging. So you have to get Audacity. Just Google it. It's totally free. And you need to get the new beta version of Audacity. The beta version, not the old one. There's a new one that came out a couple months ago. So look for beta, it says it. And then you import the track. This is how, step by step. File, import, audio. And then you go and you find the track that you'd like to get rid of. So whatever it is, right? Lady Gaga, you know, whatever you want. Or Rebecca Black. It brings in the audio, and then you just go to the effect, and this is new. And you bring that effect down to the second to last option, which is vocal remover. And you click, please remove the vocals. And it says, like, all right, I never read this stuff. It's too complicated. I just click the blue button, always. I don't know. I'm total ADHD. If I read the first sentence, I'd be like, okay, forget it. I can't do this. So I just click OK. And what it does is it removes the center channel. It's actually removing an EQ band from the recording completely. And it takes out the center channel. And so now, the only vocals that you hear, the ghosted vocals, are anything that's been panned left or right, hard panned. But look, listen, it's gone. Hooray, the world is a brighter place. All right? So I'm telling you, that might be what the one thing you take away from the conference is how to remove vocals, because I get the question so many times, and it would always be, well, you're going to have to buy a program like Pro Tools or Cubase or Logic and remove the thing. You know, there's a little, you know, effect that does it. And they'll go, oh, for $400 and really complicated software, I'm not going to do it. Now Audacity, which is totally free, effect, vocal remover, it's pretty cool. Does it work all the time? No. All right, I'll be very honest. It's free software, and does it do a perfect job every time? No, but you get what you pay for. Okay, so we're going to go back in here. Hopefully that is enough to keep you here for a while. So I did all this. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, so why technology and when? How many of you currently teach with technology in your... Right. You know what? Everybody's hand should go up, right? And here's why. I'm not saying that you're bad if it doesn't. Because you all use technology. All of you use technology when you teach, period. Right? It's a question of how much and what do you actually do. So if you go over to a CD player and press play, you use technology. I think a lot of us get hung up on the fact, oh, it's computer, software, and if I'm not doing that, then I'm not using technology. It's really that there's a spectrum of your use. So some people, it might just be that you're recording them. And I'm thrilled if you're just recording them with technology and playing music and bringing in your iPod and making playlists. Right? This up here is not me being smarmy. This is true. The children that are in your classrooms are completely different than you. Their brains are wired differently. Read any of the research that's out there. Their brains are totally... Look at the television they watch, right? Watch Yo Gabba Gabba, right? Or watch Backyardigans, and then remember Sesame Street, right? And even the media that they're watching is coming in like one-minute chunks, really bright and flashy, and they know that after about 90 seconds, they lose their attention. So wham, another bright and flashy thing. I guess we went outside and played. Right, and I have 10 and 6-year-old, and they don't want to go out and play. They just want to, you know, play video games, go on the computer, and they're just different kids. So, you know, this you probably have been to 100 differentiated learning things, but how are you addressing their needs? Because every single kid in your classroom is coming in with a different need, and those needs are almost always shaped by what they're doing at home, right? And I, as a proud parent, would love to say my kids never watch TV. They just read and they play games and they're creative. You know that the kids come into your classrooms have their own two sets of full baggage by the time they reach you in kindergarten. 21st century learning. We've heard that buzzword over and over and over again, right? And we're using 19th century models to teach. Not everybody. People are doing really cool stuff, but most schools are still using that 19th, maybe a 20th century, late 20th century model. This is the number one. Don't worry about that technology is going to do away with the beautiful curriculum you've been teaching for a long time. It should never do that. The CD player doesn't change the way you teach. The CD player just makes it a lot more convenient for you to play recordings for your students, right? And actually, CD players are really annoying at this point. I have everything on an iPod, iPhone or iPod. Right? In the last couple of years of my teaching, I had all my playlists on an iPod, all of it. So I didn't have to fumble through racks of CDs that were always missing. Right? You play the CD, you press eject, you put it on the top of the thing, and then you come back for it a marking period later. You're like, where's the damn CD? It's gone. Assessment. For those administrators who are hell-bent on assessing and making sure there's quantifiable, you know, results, then great, technology can be your best friend, because every software program under the sun has assessment. They know they really can't sell it without it, right? This is a phrase I'd like you to all remember, and it's the truth. The students that you teach want to create content in the same medium in which they consume it, right? Your kids are going home and checking out really cool stuff, and for me, when I was a kid, like the most wonderful thing that could possibly happen was for me to do a diorama or make a play, put on a play rather than write a handwritten thing, right? You know, that to me that was just deadly. If you said write a report, because I would last minute it the day of, I'd tell my mom I was sick, you know. But the kids are seeing some really cool content at home, and there's a disconnect between what they're doing and what they're producing at school, I believe. Now, let me make something very clear. There is nothing more fulfilling as a music educator to walk into a pre-K room and have kids hug you because you're the music teacher, and you get down on the floor with them, and you sing, and you dance, and you move. I'm not saying to ever replace that. I want to make that very, very clear. Not ever. That to me was like, you know, rock star. You walk in, that's like, oh, I had the worst day yesterday, and now four-year-olds love me. How great is it? Right, and then integrate when appropriate. Don't do it all the time. If you ask me how often did I use technology in my general music classroom, I'd say 40% of the time. And that might be, and I was one of these tech nerds that was doing it a lot. So 40% is a lot. And that's never 100%. Right? How did you learn music? Right? Did you have software teaching you music? No. So is it a valid way to learn music? Absolutely. Does it work with every kid that's in your classroom today? No. So you have to kind of pick and choose. And for some kids, they want you behind the piano saying, what interval is this? And for other kids, they want to be doing it in GarageBand or Groovy or something. So it's up to you when to integrate. So in the capture, connect, and create, capturing, I mean recording and assessing, right? How many of you have ever recorded yourself and heard yourself play it back? One of the most humbling experiences you can possibly have. And a great learning experience. And kids love hearing themselves played back. they just, can you play it again? Can you play it again? Can you play it again? Even something as simple as you're doing some Kodai in your class and you're doing some songs and you stick a little handheld recorder. I'm making my podcast with this little M-Audio MicroTrack 2. I'll give you recommendations later. But you put this in the middle of your classroom and you have the, all right, my, you know, Tony, go. You know, hello, you know, whatever they do. I'm it's been a while. But recording, in a sense, this is the most passive of all technology integration things. Just record them and play it back for them. And make those recordings accessible. By connecting, you've probably, this has been going on for years now, people doing blogs, podcasts, and wikis. I'm going to show you examples of people doing this. But extending the classroom to outside in a safe environment where they're anonymous and the kids aren't going to get bad comments and weirdos aren't going to see what they're doing, a safe online environment for kids probably fourth grade and up is great. Again, my personal opinion is that third grade and up is where they actually touch stuff. K to two, it's you using the technology to teach. Grade three, they actually touch a mouse. That's my line in the sand. I would never bring second graders and say, all right, we're not going to move and sing and dance today. We're going to just go to a computer lab. That's just, but again, that's me. And I get people, I'll introduce you to Amy later. She thinks I'm crazy. And then creating. You can totally do composition without technology. 100% do it. I used to do it at Iconic Notation. I'd have the kids get into groups and say, all right, I'd like you to notate a melody, but you don't know notation yet, so make up symbols. And then you have to recreate it and have other people try to recreate the melody that you've written. Awesome lesson. You should never get rid. I mean, it worked for me every single time, even with the technology. Without technology, it can be difficult to get beyond that and have every kid in the class go home with a composition. It can be difficult, not impossible. With technology, it's incredibly easy to do composition with your students, either as a class, a whole, you know, with a smart board, which I'll get to, you know, interactive whiteboard, and have the whole kid, have the whole class compose, and then have them do their own individual compositions. And improvising is such an awesome thing to be doing. And these are the two things I, as a music teacher, kind of, when I started out, didn't really know what to do with it. I was like, I'll just teach them songs. I'll play my guitar. My first year, I didn't know what I was doing at all. So I would be like, all right, I'm looking at my method book, saying, all right, I should sing this now, you know, Little Eyes of Jane, you know, and then, not that there's anything bad about doing it, but I didn't do standard four or standard three or four. Four or five? Three or four. National standards, it always... Does that make sense, the capture, connect, and create? And by the way, the in my opinion, the connect thing has never been more important, especially in the ridiculous days of educational reform that we're currently experiencing. All right, I taught in New Jersey, so, you know, it's pretty bad there right now. And New York isn't too much better. I don't know how it is up here in Massachusetts, because we're so regionalized in our news coverage of education. But teachers are under attack where I am. I don't know. Is that the truth up here, too? Yeah, you guys are kind of? Is it as bad? Where you have a governor just saying that all teachers are thugs, basically? All right, good. Well, not all teachers. Examples of integration. So here are some folks that I think are doing great things in their classrooms. I'm sure Amy's been up here before doing sessions. If you've never heard of Amy, just go check. I'll show you all her stuff. She's a K-3 general music teacher. She also does 5th and 6th grade band, but I'm focusing on what she does with her K-3. She's in a private school, right? Far Hills Country Day. She is the president of Time, which is pretty cool. And she has her blog, and she has her website, and she tweets. How many of you tweet, by the way, just out of curiosity? I probably know most of you, or I follow you, hopefully. For those of you saying, well, who cares about Twitter, I can't recommend it strongly enough as a really cheap and effective way of professional development. And I know you're all going, well, who cares what you ate last night, right, or where you ate? That's not what you use Twitter for at all. And I'm not doing a Twitter session, but if you find one, I'm telling you, go on Twitter, get an account, and then search for hashtag MuseEdChat. And then hashtag, by the way, is a number sign. So you get a Twitter account, it's free. And then you look for #MuseEdChat and then #MPLN. And when people ask me, because my job is to stay on top of technology, the latest stuff, that's my job. I'll tell you a secret. I am not a magician. I learn about all of it from Twitter, all of it. That's how I learn everything. Used to be I'd have to go in my Google Reader and look at all the different blogs that were out there. Now it's all in Twitter. And I'm not doing a Twitter session. Sean, are you doing anything on Twitter later?
No.
Yeah. Go and look it up on Twitter. Why should I tweet? Right. It's not to follow Charlie Sheen. Okay. You can really do. That's how I find all the way. Oh, check out this person's website. Check out these resources. So let's go to Amy's site for a moment. And it's amymburns.com. Oh, isn't it pretty? She made this in iWeb. It's nothing super fancy about this. But right here, she has her kindergarten classroom. And then on her kindergarten classroom are all of her student projects that she does with Groovy. Here's a Halloween parade, and you can click on it and listen to it. Five Little Pumpkins. Wow. See, ADHD kicking in, hardcore rap going on next door.
This is Mrs. Couture's class singing Five Little Pumpkins. Here we sing Five Little Pumpkins.
There's always that one kid. Never, never, get it. How many of you do this with your kids? I did it every Halloween. Ready for some fun. We all go to the same school. Like, what? All right. So the point of this is not to show, aren't I a great music teacher? Aren't I fabulous? The point is, so the kids and their parents can go home and say, listen to what I did in music class today. Right? And, you know, and what I love about what Amy does is she puts up the good with the bad. So there are really stellar examples, and there are that to me is a regular, everyday kindergarten music class with that one kid monotone. That's what you get. So when you hear the recording that's, ooh, you know, kindergartners, you know, no way, that's not kindergarten. So this is great. It's an electronic refrigerator. Okay, so the kids can see, their parents can go home, and when she does her back-to-school night, of course, she promotes this with the parents, and the parents all know, oh, I can go to Miss Burns' site and check out all the recordings. Okay, so I'm showing you this because, and she is Miss Orff. She's totally Orff. Certified, you know, up the wazoo with her Orff certification. So she is using technology. She's not a technology teacher. She's an Orff teacher that uses the technology to record and uses the technology to compose with Groovy. Because in this one, for example, this is a movie of her kids using Groovy. Right, so she's making little screencasts of what her students are doing in Groovy. That's pretty cool, right? So that's Amy. And she's a friend of mine. I think she's fantastic. So skipping around the country, here's Carol Bruce. How many of you know Carol? Right? She's terrific. This woman's energy level is indefatigable. I love that word. Indefatigable. She teaches 4th through 8th grade general music. She teaches in the Soundtree Lab in Winnetka, Illinois. She's an Apple Distinguished Educator. She has her blog. She has her website, carolbruce.com. And she is a tweeter. So you follow her at Be a Techie, right? It's kind of like Be a Pepper. Showing my age, I guess. So she's got one of those sites where it's just like, oh my God, there's so much stuff on it. And when you scroll down, it's just all this amazing thing. So here are her compositions that her students are making in class. I'm going to go to here. So these are all of her student compositions. And when you click on them, it's in Scorch, So she's using Sibelius. Everybody cross your fingers. They work in the hotel. There we go. So her students' compositions are posted online for everyone to see. And you'll notice that it says Adventure by John, not by John Delancey, fifth grader at Winnetka, you know, Sunset Ridge. No. Keep it anonymous. But this kid knows who it is. His parents are going to be thrilled to see, you know, I have two children. They're in public school in New York, and they come home all the time with art projects, all the time, right? With their, they just made their leprechaun lanterns, right? So they come home and they show it. It's like, oh, that's so, it's always squashed because it's been in a backpack. But it's like, oh, wow, you're doing such cool stuff in art. But I never, ever get something from the music classroom. This is how you do it, okay? How do you do it? It's impossible, right? It's either the concert where, you know, you either go to the concert and go, yeah, okay. Or you do an electronic refrigerator and get a website up and running and post student work and make them little rock stars, right? Another one. Any questions so far? I hope I'm not being obnoxious. I'm just trying to. So Karen Garrett is from Birmingham, Alabama. And this, she's fantastic. Her music tech lab was in a closet with like five stations in a storage closet. And then she got all this press, she was on the news and about all this great stuff that she does, because this woman, she was a Time Teacher of the Year. She has one of the coolest websites out there called musictechteacher.com. How many of you have seen it, right? My favorite, she makes games in Flash that you can take and play with your students. So let's go there. Karen Garrett from Birmingham, Alabama. She is the sweetest woman. She's just so nice. And her whole entire world is these kids. And so when you go to quizzes, games, and music help, this might be the thing that you do with your students. Pull these up, put them on a smart board, and have your students do the games on a smart board. Okay? So, question? Sir? No. All right. So my favorite one is Hang the Music Teacher. But let's just do Hangman Instruments. Okay? Small flute, high with a shrill sound. Well, of course, that's a bassoon. Right? Uh-oh. Is it a piccolo, maybe? All right, so this is, by the way, this is, you know, will you use, is this the greatest lesson of all time? No. But go and look through the games, find ones that you like, and she made all this stuff for free. And she's got a whole bunch of lesson plans. When we go back to her page, by the way, look at all these games she's made for you. That's completely ridiculous. God bless her cotton socks, as they say. And she's got her student work published up there. So all the students are there for you to hear. Now, you'll see that they've got names here. She got permission. I'm a little sketchy on doing that, but she did put their names up. Okay? Any questions on these three folks? All right. So let's go on. So essential hardware. This is what in my opinion, every elementary music teacher should have at least one of these devices. So we're first going to start off with audio recorders. And again, I showed you my little micro track. It's $199. Okay? It records as an MP3, as a WAV file. It's really convenient. And there's just a red button that I click. And when I'm done, I click the red button again. And then I take it like a digital camera, and I plug it into my computer and drag the recordings. You probably have been to a session or two at this point on digital handheld recorders. This is my new favorite, $99. It's called the Zoom H1. It's made by Samson. Zoom H1. Not only does it have a really, really simple record and record again when you're done, it's got a built-in speaker. What? That doesn't have a built-in speaker. That was $100 more. That's what I always, wait a minute. So built-in speaker, plus you can USB it out. And you can plug it into a speaker, a bigger speaker, record them, and as soon as it's done, play it back for them. Really great. And in an elementary band situation, playing back the recording of them is one of the most important things you can do, because they'll learn what balance and blend means when you hear nothing but snare drums. or saxophone. You have 18 saxes and, you know, one trombone. So the Zoom H1 is $99. By the way, we have all this. I have a catalogs up here for Soundtree. I'll give you a coupon code that'll get you 10% off of that. All right, remind me. Zoom H1. This is the Zoom H4n. How many of you have one of these, by the way? What do you have?
The H4n.
Yeah, and how much do you love it?
It's amazing.
There, I don't have one here to show you. Who else has an H4n and loves it?
An older
H4n. These things are just ridiculous. Okay, on the bottom there are what are called Neutrik combi inputs, which means that you can plug a microphone into it, the three pronger. I always say three pronger. I'm sure there's a better way to say it, but you know what I mean. You can plug microphones directly into it. Okay, you can also plug a guitar into it or a bass. Right, it's a four-track recorder. So you can do multi-tracks, which is really nice.
How many tracks? I'm sorry.
Four. There is a tuner and a metronome built in. There's a speaker. And it also acts, and this I learned from a kid, it also acts as an audio interface. That is like, what? So that means that you can plug this directly into your computer and record guitar straight. It's like a pass-through. It does the... I didn't know it could do that until a 17-year-old told me it could. It's a passive audio interface. I was like, what? No, it isn't. No, yes, it is. He was right. I hate that. And it's got the really nice built-in microphones at the top. Okay. Now, the next little device, of course, this is called the ProTrack by Alesis. And I'll pretend I'm a hand model, too. Okay. What that means is you take your iPod, iPhone, iPod Touch, throw it in. You now have an H4n with the combi inputs on the bottom. It does not act as an audio interface. This is by the way, H4n is $299, worth every penny if you're going to do a ton of recording, really. This is $149, but it's got pretty much the same mic capsules. And it's phantom power, so you can plug in condenser mics into it. $149. So my only caveat with this guy is that your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPod, if you do a lot of recording with this, you're going to just eat the memory of your iPhone or your iPod. Right? You know what I mean? If you do a lot of recording, you're going to have no more space. And so an iPod Classic is the best one to use because there's just tons of space. My little measly iPhone 3GS, I'm not cool yet with the 4. There's 16 gigs, so I would fill it up pretty quick because about 14 gigs are games. That's such a... Why did they make Fruit Ninja? What a time suck that is. Right? Okay, so on the right hand... by the way, if... just because I see more people coming in. I am giving away a piece of software at the end if you want to fill out one of these to be in it. That would be great. So now these are video recorders. It used to be that the thought of recording video in your classroom was just completely asinine. You need a massive camera or a handheld. Why would you do that? This is the Zoom Q3. It's $199. And it shoots really good video, right? And the microphone on top is the same quality as the Zoom microphone. So you get an awesome audio recording and video. And to me, now that these little guys are along, why shouldn't you be doing the video as well? It's great to assess, take video, you know, snapshots of them, of your concerts or whatever. So that's the Zoom Q3 is $199. This is the Alesis Video Track. That's $199. And this is insane. This is the new Zoom Q3 HD. So for $100 more, it shoots in high def, 1080. That's sick that a $299 little handheld thing shoots in HD. Right? And not too long ago, an HD camera would have cost you $8,000, and now it's $299. Does anybody record video in their classrooms? Right? Isn't it? Does anyone want to share what they do or how they use that video? Sean?
Yeah, actually, the
final juries, brilliant.
It's a great way to document their progress when they go to challenges, so why they got what they got for a grade, and say, well, here, I'm going to pull up the video. And
right.
The video.
Awesome. An elementary teacher? Yeah.
I teach elementary, right. K through 4. I use just a flip video camera.
Flips are great. I didn't put them up there. They're $99.
And I use I put our stuff on our blog, and every week the parents can go and check and see like their dances and the orb stuff.
Right. To me, what you're doing is exactly what music teachers need to do to almost ensure job security. When parents see the awesome things that you're doing in your classroom on a regular basis, that's good. When they don't, and it comes time for cuts, I'm talking pure mercenary tactics here to keep your gig, right? If parents have no idea what you do. In my district, I'm podcasting this, it's probably not very smart. I won't say that. But you don't want the parents to have no idea what you do. You want the parents to be like, this teacher does so much for my child. Don't take them away, right? Because when it comes time to axe time, you want them online at the school board meeting saying, you know, don't you dare cut the music teacher. That happened to me. I was up on the, I got axed, and all the parents came out and said, don't you dare, and I got my job back. Because sometimes school boards go, maybe we should, all right, let's let this guy on, we'll get rid of that person. Talking total mercenary. It's ugly, I understand. So, interactive whiteboards. Who has some type of interactive whiteboard in their classroom? I believe that this is almost essential hardware. If you have a permanent classroom, if you're on a cart, no. You could walk around with one of those wheelie ones, but it's such a pain. But if you have a permanent classroom, you should really look at your PTA or somebody to get you one. Because it will revolutionize the way that you teach. Anybody want to share a story that uses an interactive whiteboard?
I use, I couldn't afford a smart board,
right.
So I bought something called a Mimeo, which is, I'm like, my kids call it the ghetto smart board, but it's this, that long piece that almost looks like the butt of a gun, I guess,
right.
It's a magnet, and it sticks right to the my regular whiteboard.
Right.
And I have a regular projector that I cart around because I teach in two buildings.
Right.
I schlep all my stuff back
right.
and forth between the buildings. And so anyway, but you could use the smart software because our school pushes the smart software. So I use the smart software with the Mimeo, which I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying that, but
it's okay.
and then so it was a much cheaper way. I think it was like $500 versus the few thousand that smart
board might have. Let's go back. Excellent. I'm glad you brought that up. All right, smart boards are the Kleenex of interactive whiteboards. They're fantastic, right? I do sessions on smart boards all the time. They're great, but they're not the only brand. There are many brands, many options. So there's a smart board. They're in that $2,000 range to get this is the one with the projector built in. If you don't have that, you really want it. First of all, you want it mounted. You do not want a roll-away. You don't, because it takes forever to calibrate, and you have to calibrate it every single time. It's annoying. So you do want a ceiling-mounted projector or the smart projector that's right there. That's smart. This is Promethean, which is the other biggie. Those two go head-to-head. They're the big, you know, AT&T or, you know, Mac versus PC. Promethean and SmartBoard. Then this is a brand new one. This is an Epson projector, which actually is a smart board. So the projection that comes onto you, you can project it on anything. I could project it on this wall, and the projection is the smart board. So you put your finger in the projection, and it knows where you are. And that's $2,000 for the projector. No extra hardware. It's just a projector. You need the projector anyway. That's pretty darn cool. And what's your name?
Danielle.
As Danielle mentioned, there's the Mimeo, which is the super cheap, you know,
ghetto
whiteboard, which is basically you're converting a white board, like a, you know, a dry erase board.
Or a wall.
Or a wall.
Yeah.
This little guy picks up where you are in the field, and so it works. Now, if you want to get even more crazy, there's this thing called the smooth board. Smooth board. Go to smoothboard.net. Don't tell anyone I told you. Smoothboard.net for $25 and a Wiimote, it does exactly the same thing. I swear, if you have a Wiimote,
and a projector,
you basically use a pen, one of those electric pens, that's what you're buying, a pen, the Wiimote figures out, the Wiimote sends out some kind of weird signal, and it knows where you are on the board, and it works exactly the same. I've seen it live. It's great. Smoothboard.net. So that's for the ultimate, I have no money, Jim, thanks. $25 and a Wiimote. You could turn any surface into a whiteboard, an interactive whiteboard. The Wiimote acts as where the pen is on the screen. It's a sensor, just like the Wiimote, you know, when you're bowling or arching.
Like I select and do all that stuff.
Yeah. Go, check it out. I have nothing to do with them. This guy showed it to me, and I love telling teachers about cool stuff. Smoothboard.net. So, by the way, the number one question I get about whiteboards is, can you use software with that? And the answer is, you can do anything with a smart board. So just pretend that it's a gigantic iPad, right? So right now, if I wanted to, even using Keynote, I could just click and it would do something. What smart boards are great for is if you have no budget, but you have a smart board, and you go on newyorkphilkids.org, you can have it projected up there, and the kids could come up and they use a Wenger flip fold, steps, so that when they're little, they can get up to the whiteboard. And they can, interact with whatever, the software, website, anything. So anything works on a smart board or interactive whiteboard. All right. So now, here's some more essential equipment. Basically, you need three things, or maybe even two. You need a way to get audio onto your computer. And my favorite device that I've been showing for years is this guy called the Blue Snowball. And what this is, you have a USB cable, you plug in, you plug this into your computer, and now you have a microphone, a really good microphone, to record if you're on a Mac right into GarageBand or Audacity or any other software. And if you're on a PC, Mixcraft, which is just like GarageBand or Audacity. And you just record, do podcasting, whatever you'd like to do. $99, you can find the coupon will get it for you for less. Great, great, great piece of gear. This right down here is awesome for all of us old school folks that have tons of cassette tapes. Remember those? For $199, this is called the Alesis Tape Link. It is a one-time purchase and a one-time use kind of product. You get all your cassettes, you put it in here, and it puts it as an MP3 onto your computer. That's pretty darn cool for us old, if you're older than 35 and remember cassettes, right? There's no 8-track. That would be really cool. There is, by the way, also, it's called PhonoLink. Same price, $199. Alesis makes PhonoLink. Put the record on, and it converts it to an MP3 for you. That's really, really cool. So that's the tape link. I show this because every elementary music classroom I've ever been to has, those old cassette tapes that came with the books. This is just a great way to digitize it. Up there is a Fast Track, $119 audio interface. Those of you saying, well, why do I need an audio interface? If you want to record an instrument, if you have a microphone already and want to put it onto your computer and record, let's say you have an SM58 microphone, which pretty much every school in America has, the one with the silver ball on the top, right? You can plug it into this, and that goes straight into the computer. So if you already have a really decent microphone, that's all you need to convert it. Okay, up in the right-hand corner, you're the first folks to see these. These are our brand new keyboards, because if you're going to use programs like Sibelius Groovy, Finale, Smart Music, whatever you're going to use, it's great to have a keyboard to be able to input the notes, rather than doing the point and click, which takes forever. It's $49. It's great for inputting notes into GarageBand, Mixcraft, Sibelius, Finale, right? $49, it's called the Nano Key. And so these, it even says prototype on the back. These will be available in May, right? Our old Nanos, which are these guys, have completely sold out. There are none left. We're kind of without inventory for a while. So these are gone. These are $49. These are the new ones. They have them in white, too, in case you're worried about black and gray keys. Then this is my latest toy. This is the Micro Key. For those of you that don't like the little tiny guy, it's a little bit bigger, right? The thing that's great about these is they're really cheap. That's $49, this is $99, but for schools, we can do a whole lot better than that. You just have to ask us, okay? And then this is the Alesis Transactive. This is really cool for itinerant music teachers going from door to door. It's got a little luggage handle thing. You can drag it around with you. And you put your iPod directly into it, and it plays. It's perfect. And it's battery powered. That's $199. Great for elementary. And you know, you can plug anything else to it, into it, a microphone, so you don't have to shout at chorus rehearsals with 400 third graders. Right? And last but not least, pretty much, in my opinion, you need some kind of piano in your room. And if you don't have one, this is the Korg. It's called the Korg SP170. It's $499. That's pretty affordable. Okay, so piano, even a digital piano is super cheap at this point. So again, computer peripherals, great for really maximizing what you do with software. And then last but not least, let's get into some software, because I just mentioned it. Here are my absolute favorites, and should be, you know, there's the Sibelius Groovy triumvirate, right? Groovy Shapes, Jungle and City. I'm not going to show those, because there's lots and lots of sessions that have been done on those. But what I love about them is it's iconic notation that is kind of graded. It's sequential from Shapes, Jungle into City. Shapes is K2, Jungle is like 3-5, City is almost middle school. And they actually put notation into it, and you can record, and there's a learn aspect, really cool software, but there have been tons of sessions on it. I've had the absolute honor of working with Morton Subotnick for the last 4 years. We're currently writing a book on a new philosophy of music education, which should put us into a little bit of trouble. But what I love about Morton is he believes that every single human being is musical. And then when they get to music class, we kind of hammer it out of them, which is his philosophy, not mine, because we're playing the Socrates-Plato role. Like, what are you talking about? You know, you're crazy. But he believes that all children listen. There's the hearing musician, there's the performing musician, and there's the creative musician. And that music programs in the United States focus only on one of those. Which one? Performance. It's all performance. And that the others kind of just drift by the wayside as the kids get older. And he just thinks this is awful. But one software program that my now 6-year-old was the guinea pig, tested all of the software, is called the World of Music. And this is what I'm going to be giving away at the end of the session. Please get a card. Sorry, it's like the fifth time I said that. I apologize. Morton Subotnick's World of Music. I'm going to be anonymous. And what I love about his software is that he has no instructions. There's no manual. The kids are just meant to go on this and explore. Okay? So there's a pitch canvas. And how many of you have seen this before? By the way, just so I get it out of the way, $34.95. World of Music. And there's this is beginner. There's also World of Music Intermediate. But here's the pitch canvas. Morton believes that composition should be as easy as finger painting. Right? So, finger paint. Right? Choose a different color. Get a different timbre. And then, sorry. Yeah, that's what now, by the way, I did focus testing, focus groups around the country. Every single place I did them, half the kids would write their names. Talk about ego, you know, like second graders, it's like all just their names. Right? Cool. What I love about him is he has this dog and cat hand puppet. Right? We go, that doesn't make any sense. Dog. So the kids love it. They click on a dog, retrograde. Cat is inverse retrograde. Pretty cool, right? But he says, why do we need to encumber it with terms like retrograde and inverse? Just the kids just go, oh, upside down, backwards, right? We as music, you know, oh, retrograde. And then down here, there's a globe. So this is Western. Let's put it in Africa. You know, oh, I don't like the way that sounds. You know what it sounds like in China? that actually sounded pretty cool, yeah. Because it put it in pentatonic. It puts it in the representative scale. That's really cool. And then Middle East. Right? I love this thing. I think it's pretty cool. And then you can go back to, you can erase, do whatever you want. Most kids end up with a completely full screen. And his point is, well, who cares? If they think that that's the point, is for them to explore with timbres and pitches, and we go, no, 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 it has to have a form, it has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And kids are just playing. He basically thinks that music teachers just get in the way a lot of times. So here's now the drums, which my daughter would absolutely giggle. She'd sit on Morton's lap and play this, and she'd be laughing hysterically because they make faces. Now I can hurt him. You can't make a rhythmic error. Middle Eastern. Again, $34.95. That's pretty cool. But he added this at the very end. It's called My Music. And when he did this, I said, do you realize what you did? It's the only time I've ever seen this. You can track exactly what the kids did. That you can track their creative process, because it took a movie of everything I was doing. It showed where I entered notes, what changes I made to it. So if I say, you know what, I want to hear the pitch canvas now, it will load a movie of my creative process. So there's my gym, and it shows everything I did. Took a movie of it. I love this because you can actually have a movie of a kid's creative process. The research implications for this are incredible. I'm hoping somebody will use this with little kids and see what kind of decisions they make. Right? That's pretty, he added that at the end. I was like, that's the coolest part of the software. Really? All right, so that's World of Music. I really, and he's got five titles out there. Making Music, Making More Music. There's also a Where in the World that explains all the stuff and all the scales and all that. And let's exit out of that. Again, there's Hearing Music, which is all about, you know, hearing. There's Playing Music, World of Music, really cool. They're all in that $34.95. Alfred is the publisher of the software. Really great. And that's the one I'll give away. How many of you have heard of MusicAce, right? A MusicAce Maestro. The thing will not die. It's an amazing piece of software. And it's still like the 1994 version that people are using. And Maestro Max is, well, he's your name. He's still there doing his thing. It's great software. And there has been nothing really as comprehensive as far as the curriculum. So my advice is get it if you don't have it. And even though it's kind of antiquated, the kids will pretty much think that's cool. They're okay with it, that it's old. Right? The next one I'm going to show you is one that I don't think you've seen before, and that's called O Generator Learn to Compose, or Learning to Compose. Perfect for a smart board. Perfect. So, and this might... make your head hurt a little bit, because it's a different way of thinking about music. So just let it go for a second. It's okay that kids don't notate music. It's all right. They're allowed to make music in other ways. So what I love about it, it's a British software title that's been around in England for a while, and we at Soundtree brought it over here. One of my fun parts of my job is I go find cool software that's not available in the U.S. and bring it. So I'm going to create my own tune, and it says, what do you want, rock, pop, funk, or dance? Notice there's no classical, waltz, polka, right? That's okay. Let's go with funk, because I'm feeling funky. Choose an instrument. I'm going to pick funk bass. And choose a final instrument, James Brown guitar. Right? How many of you remember Rock, Rap, and Roll? Yeah? awesome piece of software. This is very reminiscent of it, because watch this. Your head's going to hurt now. What you're about to see is one measure of music. All right, so let me explain, because you're stunned. Saying, my head doesn't hurt. 1 o'clock, or 12 o'clock is beat one. This is beat two, beat three, beat four.
Okay.
All the circles are 16th notes, and you can put samples in each one. So I'm going to get a little funky. The blue circle, it says up here, that's a drum kit. Red is percussion. Green is funk, bass. And the yellow is James Brown guitar. So what I do is I say, I want a bass drum here. Let me press play. Imagine this with a smart board. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was terrible. So what I'm doing is just mousing over the thing and clicking. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can do this live on the fly. Imagine having a kid come up and say, who wants to put in the percussion part now? And they would just come up and start. Oh, man, I am funky. Now, here's what... Oh, wait. Oh, I got to add the James Brown guitar. I'm definitely not that funky, but this, you see the Scrabble scoreboard on the bottom, right? It looks like Battleship, or no, it's Scrabble. That's what Scrabble scoreboard looks like, right? Am I crazy? You know, it's a little, no, maybe not. This is one measure of music. That represents one measure. So this is 64 measures. So you can go and then on to measure two and make measure two. The best part of it is, how many of you use GarageBand or Mixcraft? Right? The great part of GarageBand and Mixcraft is there's pre-made loops and content that get kids feeling really good about making music. But that only lasts for a little while, because then they get bored of the loops, and then they're really just making musical collages or pastiche, and they're not doing their own thing. Right? This is where you say, record the tune and bring this into GarageBand, because you can, when you do it, you can record this and drag it right into the GarageBand loop browser. And then classify it, and maybe have a folder called Favorites, which is there already, and have the students have their own folder of GarageBand loops ready to go. By the way, what I haven't shown you on this is there's step-by-step tutorials on how to make, how to compose pop-oriented kind of music. Any questions on this one? O Generator, Learn to Compose, $69. $69. Let me see. I've got 2 minutes. Sweet. All right, so I'm just going to quickly go over these. And again, all this is on that soundtree.com/MMEA11. NoteFlight, free notation software. NY Phil Kids, just totally awesome. I can't show you these because I have 2 minutes. MusicTheory.net, free music theory software. DSO Kids, Dallas Symphony Orchestra, one of the best. There's NY Phil Kids, SFS Kids, and DSO Kids. MuseTech.pbworks.com is this incredible teacher who has tons of smartboard lessons, music lessons, for you to take for free. But that's pretty, I think Allison Friedman is her name. She's brilliant. Creating Music is Morton Sabotnik's free version of all his software. It's not the greatest, but it works. MusicGraphicsGalore.net is every music teacher's friend, because it's all great clip art that's free, copyright royalty free. There's also a new one called musicbulletinboards.net. Awesome. Do you know, is it yours?
No, it's a friend of mine.
A friend of yours. It's brilliant. And all their music bulletin board ideas. It just came out, or I saw it on Twitter.
I've been using it for years, though.
You have been. See, I'm an idiot. I saw it on Twitter. Wow, this is cool. Musicpln.org. I don't have time to explain it. Just go there and become a member. It's incredible. It's where you can ask all your questions and not feel dumb to ask them. SFS Kids, which I mentioned. Vermont MIDI, the single coolest use of technology in music education, in my humble opinion. What Sandy McLeod does up there is brilliant. And then, yeah, there's a site called YouTube, right, which I did a session on last year. I have a book on it. It's just so much great stuff up there for kids. All right, last but not least, Amy Burns' book, Tech Integration in the Elementary Music Classroom, should be on everybody's shelf. We do have an elementary keyboard lab curriculum that we wrote with Alfred. It's really awesome. If I do say so myself. That would be great if I didn't bring the book. Oh, there it is. This is my latest book, which I'll be doing a session on in 3 minutes, called Making Music with GarageBand and Mixcraft. They're lesson plans. It's mostly middle school, high school, but it's great tutorials. And then some other great stuff, but I don't have time for it. All right, folks, there's all the info you need for me. Please hand in your card so I can give away this piece of software. Maybe hand them down in the middle. Did the card go? Is there any questions while I'm collecting all this? And when's my next session, like right now?
It's 9:10.
9:10? All right, I can do it. Anyone else? Oh, yeah, for those of you, just put your name for now. That'd be fine. And then, Dan, do you want to be the lucky picker?
Oh, no, I don't want that.
So just name for now.
Just name for now, just to facilitate the speed of the drawing. You? I wish you all luck. I hope you all could win, or I wish you all could win, but I have a budget. So I'm going to put them face down so there's no monkey business.
Yep.
And I'm going to choose Jan Lolly. Excellent. You win. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you know, my email address is up here. If you have any questions after today or if there's something that rang a chord and you want to follow up on, please email me. And please do go check out that site. But thanks very much for coming.
Thank you.